right, today we're going to continue right into our time of study as we are in the middle of a series called the Three-in-One. Three-in-One. How many know the Trinity is a big part of our lives, correct? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've heard the term Trinity. Maybe you've heard all three of those terms, those names talked about. But maybe you have questions, as many people do. Who really is God? Is he the Father? Is he Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is Jesus really the Son of God, or is he actually the same person? Who's the Holy Spirit? Is it the Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus, a different spirit? And so I would say that today that all three represent equal parts of our Godhead. They all play separate roles in a part of every Christian. When we learn who they are, we allow the Holy Spirit stands alone, has his own purpose. The Son, Jesus, has his own purpose. And God the Father has his own purpose. And when you understand that, you understand the many sides of Jesus, the many sides of the Holy Spirit, and the many sides of God our Father, then you get a revelation of how all three work together. But when you allow all three to work in unity in your life, wow, how much better is it? I mean, you can put some detergent in your laundry, or you can put fabric softener, you can put brightener and detergent, and all three comes out, and it comes out smelling a lot better, right? Comes out a lot brighter, right? Well, some of us, our attitudes need to change. Some of us need to smell a little better. We need to look a little better, right? And that happens when you allow all three to begin to work in your life, changing you from the inside out. So we've been spending most of our time in the first part of the series talking about the Son. I'm going to speak today, and then next week, and then next week will be the last one of the Son, and then in 2 weeks, we'll be talking and kicking off the part of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to miss that. Believe me, it's going to be powerful teaching. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus is the stairway. Jesus is the stairway. Now, some of you said right now, I can already hear you thinking, I knew Led Zeppelin knew was in touch. I knew they were prophetic. Jesus is the stairway. You know, I knew they were onto something on the stairway to heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you that actually that is a little bit true there. That Jesus did refer to himself as the stairway to heaven. And I want to point it out to you, and let's just jump right into our story. It's incredible. I've never taught this before, ever. I'll just tell you this right now. I've never taught this before in the history of, I've been teaching for over 20 years. I've never preached a message on Jesus as a stairway. This is the first time, but I believe for some of you it's going to be some really cool revelation that you're going to see some things that never you saw before. Let's go jump right into it as we're discovering the many sides of Jesus. Genesis 28. We have Jacob. Now, remember, Jacob is the son of the son of Isaac, and he's running from his brother Esau. Remember that? He stole and lied his brother's birthright, and he's been running from his life ever since, hiding and running for his life, fearing for his life. He's on the run. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head to lay down. That sounds really comfortable, doesn't it? Use the stone for a pillow. But to sleep, he had a dream in which he saw a what? What did he see in his dream? A stairway resting on earth. Now, some translation will say a ladder. So maybe you've heard the term Jacob's ladder. This is the same story, the same terminology, but different translations. Some say ladder, some say stairway. And today I'm using the word stairway because I really like stairway to heaven. So stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So he wakes up in his dream, and he sees this dream, an open heaven, and the bottom of the stairway is touching the earth where he's at. And on this becomes a pathway, that up and down this pathway, up and down this stairway, the angels of God were what? Ascending and descending. They were ascending and descending. And so keep that in mind now. Remember what I've taught you, that the Old Testament paints a picture of what the New Testament church is about. How Jesus relates to us in the New Testament. How God is wanting to relate to us in the New Testament. So let's fast forward now to the New Testament and see what Jesus prophesied about himself. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 51. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you will all see an open heaven. Remember, he saw an open heaven. And the angels of God going up and down, that's ascending and descending, on who? The Son of Man. And then Jesus clarifies, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. And so we know that Jesus became the Trinity. We know he's the one who came and took flesh form, the God who walked among us. Now, Later on, he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell among us. But Jesus was the only Godhead of the Trinity who took flesh form to walk as a person, that he could be our advocate, that he could relate to you and I, that he could be a go-between between the Father and us. And he says, I am the stairway. Jesus said, I am the stairway. Jacob saw it in a vision, was prophesied about. Then Jesus declares, the angels of God, they descend and come up and down from me. I'm here. I'm the connection. I'm the stairway to heaven. I'm here. And he says, this is me. I'm the one who's connecting heaven and earth. So Jesus declared this about himself. Now look what verse 19 says of Genesis chapter 28. And then, see, Jacob wakes up, and look what Jacob says. Jacob woke up and he called that place. He named it Bethel. The word Bethel is the Hebrew word for the term house of God. So Jacob wakes up from this vision, realizes he's been seeing an open heaven. He's seen a stairway of angels and of gods descending up and down to where he's asleep. He wakes up and he calls that place Bethel, the house of God. So Jesus is connecting the house of God, you and I, to heaven. And so today I want to give you some things to think about as we think about those terms. Why did he call that place the house of God? Why did Jacob call that place the house of God? Number one, the house of God is a place of God's presence. The house of God is a place of God's presence. We know this to be very true because look what he says here in his revelation, Genesis 28, 16. Look what Jacob said. He woke up from his sleep and he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. See, he woke up and knew the presence of God had been there. He knew he was dwelling in the presence of God. And we see the light coming on for Jacob. Revelations coming on for Jacob. Jacob's like, wow, man, I'm dwelling in the Bethel place, the house of God, where the presence of God is provided here. It is here. His presence is here, and it's the house of the Lord. So he names that place the house of God. Listen, people should encounter the presence of God every time they walk through the house of the Lord. Every time they walk through the doors of Destiny Church or any other church, they should walk through and feel the presence of God is in that place. They should feel an encounter with the presence of God. Why do they need to encounter the presence of God? Because we have hurting people who need to know the real Jesus. We have hurting people who need to feel the real Jesus. We have hurting people who need to encounter Jesus. Listen, church, we don't have time. That's why we don't have time to play patty cake, and say this. We just come into church to have fun. No, we got to be a church that is ushering in the life-changing presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God. Why? Because people's marriages, people's lives, people's children are hanging on a thread, and they need an encounter with God that lets them know they are not alone. They need a hope to hang on to. And we've got the best hope there is. We got the best hope dealer there is. His name is Jesus. And I don't care how many great sermons we have. I don't care how many great songs we sing. Without the presence of God, it's just a bunch of clanging cymbals making a bunch of noise. There ain't nobody here trying to give you a talent show. There ain't nobody here trying to show off. We're here to encounter the presence of God. Why? Because people's lives depend upon it. We have people coming in all the time and checking us out. And one of the things I love here is say, I don't understand it all. I didn't understand everything you guys are doing. But I felt something I've never felt before. It was the presence of God. It was the presence of God. My friends right here, the Hintons, walked in and said, Pastor, we decided we were going to start looking as a family to go to church. We had a list of churches we were going to check out. We walked into Destiny the first time, and we didn't know what it was, but the presence of God hit us, and we haven't left since. The light came on for them, and God's been changing their life. And so many of you in this room have told me the same testimony after testimony after testimony. That's why it's important that you be a part of carrying the presence of God. That's why all of us here, we have a responsibility of bringing in the presence of God every single week, because there are hurting people who need to see Jesus. There are hurting people who need an encounter with Jesus, and we've got to bring it to them. We got to see God revealed to them. As I was thinking about this and praying about this, It's a term that the staff, we've been using a lot, talking about, you know, man, we got to know the real Jesus, and we got to bring it to people who the real Jesus is. Look at this statement right here. We should, listen, as a church, we should be excited to reveal the real Jesus to people every week. We should be excited. Every week, you should be anticipating. Man, I can't wait to show people the real Jesus. I can't wait. Does it happen just at church? No, it can happen outside the church. And it should happen outside the church. But it starts right here. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You learn how to do that here. You learn how to come in and fellowship with other believers here. You learn how to worship with other believers here. You understand how to anticipate, how to receive, how to yield to the Spirit, to God's presence when you come together. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. And so when I come together, I'm ushering in God's presence. Why? Because there's people coming in every week who need hope, who need Jesus. They need Jesus. You can't afford to have a bad attitude. You can't afford to have a bad week. There's people's lives depend upon it. And when I say a bad week, what I mean is you walk in, well, I can't worship today. I was really having a bad week. No, you fight through that because you need it, and the person coming in who doesn't know Jesus needs it. You say, you know what? I got to push in. I got to look at people and say, I'm glad you're here. Welcome here. I'm glad you're here today. We welcome you here. And we do that. Why? Because people need to be ushered into the presence of God. They need to see the real Jesus. And as I was thinking about this, I was like, God, we want to reveal the real Jesus to them. Staff, we've been talking about this a lot. We need to reveal the real Jesus to them. And I was thinking about that word reveal. And I was thinking about, you know, one of the hot trends right now is reveal parties. Pregnant moms having reveal parties. They don't find out. Moms and dads not finding out what the gender of the baby is. And then when they find out, someone takes an envelope, puts together a nice party for them, puts blue balloons if it's a boy in a box, or puts the pink balloons if it's a girl in a box, or they put confetti in the balloon, and they have a surprise where everybody's there cheering, finding out what that baby is. It's a big reveal party. I think I have a video of one. Look at this. I love this. This is so fun. So cool.
What do I start it?
Just go right now.
Wait.
Go.
All I want is wait, eat. Let's just eat.
Get this boomerang. Go.
No, you go. Go. Oh my God, I think I'm going to have the baby. Go.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, think about it. This family doesn't know who the baby is. And when they find out who the baby is, all of a sudden, it's like the light comes on. The floodgates come on. They start crying. I even saw the mom lift her hands up. Hallelujah. Look at that girl. You know, she was so happy. Her hands come up. She's crying. Everybody's hugging. Everybody's crying. Everybody's excited. Once you've ever seen the call, mom, I had to call my mom. Mom, it's a girl. I found out it's a girl. Our baby's a girl. This is going to be life-changing, mom. And you're so excited. I mean, this is what I want you to get. Every week here at Destiny, we have a chance to have a reveal party. Every week, we get a chance for people to realize that that baby in the manger grew up to die on the cross and to bring grace to their life. Every week, we get to reveal the real Jesus. We should be excited. We should be anticipating. And when people get a revelation of who the real Jesus really is, the tears begin to flow, because I see you out there. You're crying. You're snotting with those rags, wiping your nose. Your hands goes up, and I don't even know what I'm doing. Am I holding my hands right? I can't help. My face is leaking every time I come into church. What's going on, Pastor? You're being revealed to the real Jesus. You're being revealed to the real Jesus. And when you understand how much He really, really, really loves you, when you understand how much grace He's really, really given you, how much He really has a destiny for your life, your life changes, and you call people up and you're crying, Mom, I got to tell you who the real Jesus is. Mom, I got to tell you what I'm discovering. I felt something. I don't understand it all, but there's something different happening. I feel God drawing close to me. I feel like I'm understanding who Jesus is for the first time. It should be an anticipation in our heart. It should be, that's why every Sunday we should be hosting a reveal party every Sunday. You come in, you should be excited. You should be looking for people to shake their hand and say, I can't wait to reveal Jesus to somebody today. We have hurting people who need it. And they depend upon us to bring and reveal the real Jesus to them. What are we going to reveal the real Jesus? We reveal the real Jesus. The real Jesus was the carpenter who came. And He understands me, and He understands the pain I'm going through. He was the Messiah who came to bring me grace beyond measure, who brought the kingdom of God down to earth, who was the stairway to heaven. I understand today the real Jesus was the Lamb of God. That's all about the Lamb. He was all about the Lamb. He was the Lamb of God without spot or wrinkle. And when God judges me, He judges my Lamb. He doesn't judge me. And He looks at my Lamb and says, well done, accepted. And I'm now cleansed through God's grace. He brings, I understand the real Jesus. He was the master teacher. And I understand that He came to teach me what the kingdom of God is really like. How much God really loves me and values me. I understand that He came, the living word, and He left the map, instructions, a blueprint for me. He didn't leave me by myself, but He sent His Spirit. No, this is the real Jesus. And the more people understand that, their eyes are open, their lives are changed. We got to be a part of that change. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching this morning. We have got to bring the real Jesus. Number two, the house of God is a place of God's protection. The house of God is a place of God's protection. Look what verse 15 says in chapter 28 of Genesis. God told Jacob, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This is the good news for you and I. God is with you. God is not leaving you. God is not abandoning you. But God is faithful to be with us through every struggle, through every pain, through every mistake, through every valley, through every mountain. He is there, and He's not leaving us. He is not leaving us. And He's made this promise to us. Jacob called that place the presence of the Lord, the Bethel, the house of the Lord. Because God said, I'm not leaving you. Now remember, Jacob's running for his life. Why is Jacob running for his life? Because his brother Esau was supposed to get the blessing. His brother goes out to hunt, to cook for the dad, to come back to get the blessing from the father. And while he's gone, Jacob lies to his father and says, hey, I'm really Esau. Remember, he put the wool on his arms. He gave him the blessing. Let me give you a tip. If you're going to do anything to anybody, never trick or steal from a hunter. Just telling you right now. Not a very smart move. Not a smart move. No wonder he's running for his life, because he had just taken from a great hunter. But he was hunting after his brother, man. He was going to kill him. He stole from him his blessing and tricked his father. So Jacob now is in fear. He's living in fear. His every move, he's looking around the corner. Is this the day that my brother shows up and kills me? Is this the day my brother shows up and takes revenge? And for the first time, God says, hey, stop running. I got you, Jacob. It's okay. I'm here. I'll protect you. Why is church a place of protection? Why is the church, why is the house of God a place of protection? Because his presence reminds me he is with me. When I come into the presence of the Lord and I feel the presence of God moving me, drawing, it reaffirms in me, God, you said you would never leave me. God, you said you would never forsake me. God, you said you would protect me. You said that you would feed me. You said I would be provided for. God, you said. And his presence reassures me those things. His presence brings that reassurance. It reminds me, God is with me. You know, I have our two youngest this year are going into ninth grade, and they're heading into high school for the first time. Our last two, wow, this will be our last two. We have five children all together, and our two youngest, our twins, Hallie and Hayden, are going into ninth grade. And, you know, every year that they go into school, they're always in groups of two grades. So they always go, you know, kindergarten by themselves, and then they go first and second, and then third and fourth, and fifth and sixth. Every year it's been by two grades. Well, now as they go into high school for the first time, they're going to be stuck in four grades. So now it's going to be freshmen with seniors. How many remember those days when that was intimidating? Anybody remember that day when you went to high school for the first time and you had freshmen going with seniors, how intimidating that was? Now, I was asking my twins the other day, are you nervous about going to school? And I'm like, no, we ain't nervous at all. And Hallie, I was talking to her and asking her, and she's got a lot of self-confidence, and she's like, ain't no guy to go mess with me. It's all good. We got it, guy. I got it, Dad. It's okay. Got this. Chill, Dad. It's all right. I'm not nervous. She got a lot of confidence, and you know. And girls have a different reason to be nervous than guys. But I will tell you, guys have a different reason to be nervous, because all guys in this room can tell you that guys are really mean to each other on a different level. Girls are hurtful with the words, but guys, they're hurtful with wedgies. Look, you know, people coming up, you know, freshmen are easy targets, and they get the wedgies sometime, and they get picked on a little bit. People pick on them a little bit, push them around a little bit. You know, we're trying to do better. I know the school system and teach anti-bullying. This is great, obviously very great, very much needed. But we still know that it can be a little intimidating when you have older ones there, and they sometimes look to target the younger ones to pick on. And I was asking Hayden, I said, Hayden, are you nervous about going to high school? And he's like, no, I ain't nervous at all. I ain't nervous at all. Like, Hayden, but you get there, you run your mouth. What you like to do? You're going to get in trouble. You want to know why Hayden is not scared to go to high school? And why Hallie's not scared to go to high school? Look at this picture. That's why they're not scared to go to high school. Because they have a brother, as freshmen, they have a brother who's a senior, and he stands almost 6'3", about 295 pounds. And I've always told them all their life, is this, we're family. We watch out for each other. Don't you let anybody mess with your brother. Don't let anybody mess with your sister. And even though you may want to kill each other at home, at school, you better have each other's back. In more ways than one, you better have each other's back. See, I've ordered their protection. Nobody better lay a hand on your brother. No. And so Hayden go through the school knowing, you know, when some of the seniors say anything, Hayden mouths off right back to them, because he knows they ain't going to touch him, because they know who his brother is. Are you following me here? See, in us, we know this, that God has ordered our protection. Look at what Psalm says. This is so great. For Psalms 91:11, for he will command. See, God has given the command. He's given the orders. Command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And so when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I remember God says, hey, Gabriel, watch out for your brother. Watch out for your sister. See, God's already ordered our protection. And when I'm in the presence of the Lord, it reminds me, yes, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, because God has ordered it. The great shepherd has called it out. He's already called over my life. He's ordered that protection. And when I'm in the presence of the God, I feel it. Jacob is like, yes, I've been running for my life. I feel the protection is changing me. Jacob says, surely the presence of God is here. You say you'll be with me. You say you won't leave me. Which leads me to my last point, number three. The house of God is a place of God's provision. It's a place of God's provision. Verse 13 of chapter 28, look what it says. There above it, above what? We're talking about the stairway. There above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. We see something happening here. God is standing above the stairway. And he says, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to provide for you. So God, what's God provide? He provides his provision. He provides his presence. He provides his protection. God provides the lamb that we needed that was spotless. God provided the instructions we needed. Jesus, the living word, and now has given us the word of the Lord. He provides what we need. He has not left us by ourselves. He provided an advocate, his son Jesus, who took on flesh form. So now that when he stands to the Father, he says, Dad, I know what they're going through. Dad, I've been in their shoes. Dad, I know the pain of rejection. I know the pain of work frustration. I know the pain of family betrayal. I know the pain of physical pain going through the body. Dad, I know what's going on. He knows what we need. He gives us the provision we need. God, Dad, they need a shepherd. Dad, they need a teacher. Dad, they need it. And he came. Look at Jacob's response now. As God says, I'm going to provide. Now look at Jacob's response to this provision. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, he's now watching over me on this journey I'm taking. He's going to give me the food I need and the clothes I need that I return safely to my father's household. He's just not going to take care of him. And now look what he's saying. I'm going to return him back home. Are you following this kind of safety? I remember he's running for his life from the great hunter, his brother, who's looking to kill him. And God said, I'm with you. You're going to go back home. I'm going to restore you back to the relationship with the Father. Are you following us today? He sent his son Jesus to give us his presence, to bring provision, to bring protection. Why? Because he gives what? He brings us back and restores us back into relationship with the Father. Wow. Look at his response. He goes, you're going to do this? Then you, Lord, will be my God. That's what he says. And you, God, will be my God. And the reason why this is so important, because we see in the chapter before, verse 27, Jacob is talking to his father. And his father asked him, he said, hey, how did you get this food so fast? How did you prepare so fast? Remember when he was lying to him? He said, Dad, the Lord, your God, helped me. See, up until this time, he was referencing, oh, that's Dad's God. That's Dad's God. He's got a relationship, but man, I don't. But see, when he got into the presence of God, he understands who the real Jesus is. He understands the protection, the provision, the presence that comes. What happens? Now all of a sudden he says, no, no, no. Yeah, you're my grandpa's, Abraham's God. And you're my dad, Isaac's God. But now I declare you are my God. You are my God. And for many of you, that's what's happened. You've walked into the doors and you've encountered the real Jesus. And you're saying that right now. God, you are my God. You're my God. Some of you, your dads didn't have that testimony. Your moms didn't have a testimony. You're saying, but as for me and my house, you are my God. We're starting a new legacy. For some of you, you had grandparents and parents who served God faithful. But for the first time, you're realizing, no, I can't ride their coattails. He's got to be my God. God, you're my God. I feel your presence with me. It's become a more personal thing. See, the more I get a revelation of God's presence and what he is in my life, the more I'm aware of the real Jesus, everything he's done for me, the more I commit to the stairway between heaven and earth. His name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads this morning. With your heads bowed, I just want to ask you this one question. Nobody looking but me. We won't do anything to embarrass you at all. I just want to give you a chance to respond to what God's speaking to your heart today. If you hear, say, Pastor, that's me. You've been preaching to me all morning. I've been feeling that all morning. I realize it's time for me now to meet the real Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus. I've been waiting to change some things in my life, and I realize now I can't wait. I don't try to fix myself. I can't fix myself. I'm a broken mess. But I sense today that the presence of God is drawing near to me. and I'm ready to give my life to Him. I'm ready to surrender my life to Him. If that's you today, you say, I've never given Jesus my life, and I want to confess Him as Lord of my life today. Can you just raise your hand where you're at, where I can see it? No one but me. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Come on, raise them high. If you haven't done it yet, raise it right now. Join these others. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You can put those hands down. I just want to ask one more time to make sure. If you didn't raise your hand, you wanted to do that, just say right now, Pastor, I need to raise my hand. I didn't raise it, but I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ today. If that's you, can you just raise your hand? If that's you and you wanted to do that. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Yeah. Let's do this right now. Let's repeat this prayer. We're going to say it together with you out loud. Those who raise your hands as Christians will help you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Give him a big hand. Yeah, what an awesome thing, guys. We love that. This is why we're here. Before you leave today, I want you to stop by our information booth right back in the back left. We got a free Bible in there. We'd love to give it to you free of charge. Just to let you know how much we love you and want to support you in your decision. And inside that Bible, it's got some information on next steps. I'm going to invite us all to stand this morning. How many say today, Pastor, you're challenging me to bring the real Jesus every week, man. I'm looking at church. How many say I'm looking at church differently right now? I realize, man, I got to be a part of the reveal party. How many are going to join me and say, every week, Pastor, I'm going to be a part of the reveal party. I want to bring Jesus to people. I want to bring Jesus to people. See, what happens here, it'll spill over into the streets. It'll spill over into the schools. It'll spill over into our workplace. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen together. We say, I want to reveal the real Jesus to people. So let's make it our prayers. We stand before Him today. Say, I stand in your presence today, God. I'm revealing the real Jesus to people.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. Arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand.
I invite you now, can you just join me as we lift our hands up one more time to the Lord? Father, I thank you that your presence is here today. God, we have felt you. We know your presence is drawing near to us to encourage us. And God, I pray that the real Jesus is revealed. The real Jesus is revealed now. And God, I pray that this word would come alive in our heart this week. May we be carriers of the real Jesus. May we help bring the real Jesus to people. Every single week, may we bring it, God, helping people get set free. Father, we love you, and we say yes, yes, and amen. If you receive this word today, come on, put your hands together. God, I love you. Listen, I love you very, very much. Thank you so much for being here. Summer's coming to an end. We got just a couple weeks left. Can't wait. Two Sundays from now, I'm going to kick off the study of the Holy Spirit. Invite people. I tell you, there's tons of people who have so many questions. We'll answer those questions in that series on the Holy Spirit. It's going to be life-changing. God bless you. We love you.